text this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 13 to verse 23. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The messenger for this morning is the Reverend Stephen Koo, pastor of Bethel BP Church in Melbourne. And he will be speaking on the topic, Once Saved, Always Saved. Reverend Stephen Koo, welcome.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And how wonderful it is that God, may God always give us grace to, so that we will be meek and lowly. And then after that, we will dwell in his house forever and ever. How wonderful it is. I believe and I hope that this is the your hope and your prospect, that you're looking forward to that day. And the day may soon come because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon. Now, if you have your Bible still with you, open to this passage which has been read to you. So, we are going to consider this passage, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 23. This last passage, the Lord Jesus Christ concluded his sermon with this passage, and it's a very important one. It is relevant. And it's a sobering note, because right from the very beginning, from Matthew chapter 5 to this part, the Lord Jesus Christ described the character and conduct of the born again child of God. And if all of us are born again child of God here, then Christ has described what kind of character and what kind of conduct we should have. And then he concluded his sermon with these words. When I was a young, very young Christian, or when I became a Christian, and I was convicted of my sin, and then the need of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and so I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins. He's the Son of God, and on the third day, God raised him from the dead, and then he's coming back again, and that was in my heart. But before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, when I was led to the Lord Christ by a friend in school, I also heard of many people who are non-Christians, and they told me that, Christians are hypocrites. So I was, as a young man, I just listened. But here, when I was with this group of people, they are Chinese-speaking Christians, very small number, about eight of them. and I saw their love for one another. They really love one another, they care for one another. And then the first time when they met together to worship God was at the Botanic Gardens of Singapore. And that's where every Sunday we went there for a couple of weeks. And there's one man who would bring his accordion and then we would sing the hymns. And then there was this love. And so when people say that Christians are hypocrites, first of all, I don't see the hypocrisy of these Christians, 8 Christians there. And so I came to know the Lord. But today, through the years, after so many years today, something that happened recently, especially to FEBC, and then the conduct and character of some Christians in high places really troubled me. And so begins this criticism that Christians are hypocrites came back to my mind. How Christians can profess themselves to be Christians, to be children of God, and then if you read the scriptures, they're supposed to grow, to be more and more like Christ, and there they can behave in such a manner. And it caused me to think, it really troubled my heart. And even one elder of another church, one day took me out for breakfast, and then asked me this question, you know what's happening to this matter regarding FEBC here? And then asked me this question, are these people saved or not? I mean, he's referring to some of these leaders. Are they saved or not? Now, he is troubled also. So he asked me this question, but I told him that I cannot play God, I can't see their heart. I say it surprises me. It really surprised me that they should continue such their character and their conduct. I thought it was already for the beginning, for a short while, they did that and then unsaid, they took us to court. And then after the decision of the appeal court, they still continue that kind of attitude towards not only the leaders of or the board of directors and faculty members of the college, but also some members of this church. You're supposed to go there, like one man who's supposed to go there, he went there, he parked his car there for a while, he's been ticked off. And so when he related to me this incident, I was troubled. And so I like to look at, search the scripture. Only the scripture, only God can say whether they are right or wrong, or whether they are saved or not. And then we have the idea that once they've all is saved. Is this a fact? I think this is true. If you read from John chapter 10 verse 29 very carefully, and you will see that God says that if you are a child of God, no one can pluck you out of his hand. And that's one safe, always safe. That is the verse, the proof text for this phrase, one safe, always safe. And also John 3:16. If you read very carefully John 3:16, especially in the original languages, in the original language, Greek language, yes, one safe is always safe. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are always safe. All your sins are forgiven, you have eternal life. But the problem is that with us, not with God. As far as God is concerned, you don't worry about God. He's always true to his word. He's always true to that. He's always faithful to his word. What he says, he meant it. But the problem is with us. And God says, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not. That word is present continuous tense. Believing. If you really and truly have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then one saved is always saved applies to you, applies to me. And so I think this passage is very, very relevant to us. This Matthew passage is very, very relevant to us. And it speaks to us very soberingly. And I hope that I pray that after reading this passage and looking at it and see what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us, we will take note of it. and examine ourselves. I don't play God, but you examine yourself whether you are safe or not. Now the Lord Jesus Christ here opened his words with in verse 15 here, beware of false prophets. In other words here, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that there are false prophets. They are in sheep's clothing. Now, if the false prophets, they are not in sheep's clothing, then you know who they are. But here, the fact that they are in sheep's clothing, in other words, they are among the people of God. The word sheep, of course, sheep here, God, Jesus Christ, often used as a metaphor to refer to Christians. You read in John chapter 10 too, I am the shepherd, and you are the sheep. My sheep hears my voice and follow me. And so sheep is always a reference to Christians. And these false prophets, they are actually, here the Lord Jesus says, actually wolves. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, outwardly you do not know that they are wolves. See, and they are here, they are sheep clothing. So, this is a fact, that in the Christian community, even now among us, there are Christians in wolves. They are wolves, actually, to call themselves Christians because we know they are Christians, but they are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. Now the word false prophet, of course, the word prophet means a spokesman of God. Taking a very strict sense, it means people like me. So am I a wolf in sheep's clothing? You make the judgment at the end of this sermon whether I am a wolf in sheep's clothing. Yeah. And so the Lord Jesus Christ will tell you exactly how you can examine me, how you can really find me, whether I am really a wolf in sheep's clothing or not. And so you have here, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, the prophet is the one who speaks for God, taking a sixth sense, a person like me. But then it also can be applied to every Christian, because you are also a spokesman for the Lord Jesus Christ. For God, every time when you speak to someone, you lead someone you want to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to open the Word of God, and you have to speak on the authority of the Word of God. And in that sense, you are also a spokesman of God, or for God. And so every Christian also can be said that he is a prophet too, a one who professing to know Christ, and then to preach or teach others or share the Word of God with others. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, beware therefore of false prophets. For beware, which you were, they are in sheep's clothing, and outwardly they look at their way, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sheep are gentle people, gentle animals. But wolves are not. Wolves are ravening wolves here. They are cruel, ferocious, greedy. They kill and they infiltrate, they come in order to destroy. That's their purpose. So the purpose of the wolf is to destroy. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, having said that, beware of, and of course the Lord Jesus, how do we know? How to know whether this person who appears to be a sheep but actually a wolf inside, how do you know? The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us here in verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. In other words here, I'm sure here the Lord used a big figure of speech. So the Lord Jesus Christ says that you can know them by their actions, by their conduct. Christ will say very clearly later on, but you will know them by their fruit. In other words, he used a metaphor or a figure of speech here with regard to a tree. Now he tells us, he gives an argument, a very simple and common sense argument with regard to tree and fruit. And so first of all, Christ says in verse 16, you shall know them by their fruits. In other, you want to, as I've earlier said, you can examine me, check me whether I am a wolf in sheep's clothing. How are you to judge me? Now I speak to you only, you. I will speak all the good things, correct? All from the Word of God. But actually inside me is I'm a wolf, you know. How would you know? From words only? So the Lord Jesus Christ says, you check me by my fruit. By my fruit. Now what fruit here? So, but before that, let's look at the argument. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us very simple, common sense logic so that you and I can know. This is to help us as Christians to identify and to know who are these wolves in sheep's clothing. Christ is not talking about the wolf really in wolf's clothing. When you see a wolf, a true wolf, you know it's wolf. But this is sheep in wolves. Our wolves in sheep's clothing. They are among you. They are among us, you know. And so we need to know. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, beware of such people. Such false prophets. Such false Christians. They appear to be Christian, but inside they are not. How do I know? Christ says, alright, you will know them by their fruits. So simple logic. What is the logic? Alright, here the Lord used a figure of speech. He says that, do men gather grapes or thorns or figs or thistles? Thorns and thistles are what you call thorny plants in Palestine. Very painful. And then Jesus Christ says, do you go to this look when you want to look for, you want to gather grapes or you want to gather figs? I'm sure you all have seen or eaten figs, especially dried figs here, and then grapes definitely. Do you go and gather from thorns and thistles, from these prickly plants? The answer is what? I mean, the people, the Palestinians here, or the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was speaking to, at that time, was addressing a great multitude of people. Among them were his 12 disciples. And there were many people who were Christians there, and who were non-Christians too. You can recognize the non-Christians, but, and yet there are many Christians too. And there were many Christians who are truly not Christians, you know. And then they are actually wolves in sheep's clothing. So here the Lord Jesus Christ gave this example here. And he says that, do you gather? So they know that the answer there, their natural answer is no. Correct or not? It's just like, for example, if you want to gather, durian, you don't go to a rambutan tree. Alright? You cannot get durian from a rambutan tree. The answer is what? Of course. No, you can't. Now look at verse 17. Even so, every good tree beareth forth good fruit. If this is a good tree, it will bear good fruit. Right or wrong? You must say right, anyway, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who say. But of course, this is still common sense logic. It is true. This is a good tree. If this tree, or if you think that this is a rambutan tree, every time it comes out, it only gives you very small rambutans only, and then it's always bad, one time, two times, three times, you will say this is a bad tree. But it is a small tree, and then it bears good rambutans every time, big and juicy, and tuhut sama, then you say wonderful, one time, two times, or three times, you will say that this is a good tree, and that is a bad tree. Alright, see, that's why, so the Lord Jesus Christ, every good tree will bring forth good fruit. Remember this phrase, every good tree will bring forth good fruit. As in application, are you a good tree? Am I a good tree? If I am a good tree, I will what? Bring forth what? Bad fruit? No, good fruit. If you are a good tree, you will bring forth good fruit. This is universal. Alright, so check yourself with that. Now, and then he says the verse, but a corrupt tree beareth forth evil fruit. Corrupt tree beareth forth evil fruit. A corrupt tree cannot bear good fruit. It must bear evil fruit. Sometimes I ask the question, why the Lord used the word corrupt instead of saying bad? In other words, maybe the tree was natural at first, and then it's going to be good when it turned to be good, but then somebody has corrupted it and become corrupt tree, and therefore it will bear evil fruit. But the logic is this: good tree bear good fruit, corrupt tree will bear evil fruit. Are you corrupt tree? Am I corrupt tree? Then you will know by my fruit. Evil fruit. In other words, if I bear evil fruit, straight away, therefore corrupt tree. If I bear good fruit, therefore good tree. The other way around. Okay? This is very important that you should now understand this and have it in your mind and your heart. Alright. Arm yourself with it. Now verse 18. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. That is also, this is in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing. Good tree bring forth good fruit. A good tree can never bring out evil fruit. If you are a good tree, forever your fruit definitely must be good. Cannot be bad. Even the good, so that the good things that you do or you say or you think is always good. But a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree may bring forth fruit that looks good, but actually bad, evil. Applying that to ourselves, is that if I'm a corrupt person, a false prophet, and I may say things that sound like now so nice, but if I am a corrupt false prophet, a corrupt person, even this thing that looks nice is what? Evil. It's dangerous. There is a trace of poison. You eat, you can get stomachache, or you'll be destroyed. Alright, up to verse 18. You are clear. Good tree will surely bear good fruit. Corrupt tree, corrupt fruit. Good tree cannot bear evil fruit. Evil tree or corrupt tree cannot bear good fruit. This is a universal truth. I hope you have it already in your mind. I have it in my heart, in my mind, in my heart. I'll never forget that. And you please that you also don't forget this truth. Because you can always use it to examine yourself. And probably here, you can use it as the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how to apply it in order to find out, to know whether this person is a false prophet or this so-called Christian is a true born child of God, truly born child of God. Alright, verse 19, he says here, every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cut into the fire. And it's talking about a farmer. So the farmer comes around and says that this is a bad tree or a corrupt tree. He will cut down. It doesn't bear fruit. No use. It takes a space in my farm. And then I've already spent hours tendering it, watering it. And then in the end, it bears this wonderful, this bad fruit. I can't eat it all. Useless. And so he will cut it out and throw it into the fire. Now the application here is very clear, you know, very, very clear. And here we will see it as you read the scriptures in the context of scripture, cut down and turn the fire, It means that if you and I, if I am a corrupt tree, and I bear corrupt evil fruit, I appear to be good, but never produce good fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ is the farmer. He will cut me out. Probably He will give me a chance in my lifetime to check myself, to find out that truly I'm not good. I'm actually in wolves, in sheep's clothing. I must quickly come out of it and change and become sheep in really sheep and sheep's clothing. Give us a chance for me to do that. And if I don't, and the time comes, harvest time comes, you cut me out and throw me into the fire. And in this case, there is the lake of fire, and I will be there. Every person who professes himself to be a Christian, not a Christian, but clothes himself as a Christian, talk like a Christian, but he's not, then he'll be cut off and thrown into the fire. Alright, so verse 20, again the Lord Jesus emphasizes, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits. So at first you have a false prophet using the metaphor of wolves in sheep's clothing. You only can see the outside form, but you really cannot see the inside. And the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that you can only know that person through what? Its fruit. If you are in sheep's clothing, you are truly a sheep in sheep's clothing. When a sheep will bleat, meh, meh, meh. Oh, that's a sheep. But a wolf in sheep's clothing, how? Whoa. Ayo, this one is not. And you also can see about human beings, you know, homosexuals sometimes like that, you know, actually he's a man, but then he dressed himself like a beautiful woman. But he opens his mouth and he goes, oh. And then you know straight away he's not a man, he's not a lady actually, he's a man. Here again, it's only an illustration to tell you that. And it's a good illustration because he looks like a person, a man, a woman, beautiful, but actually he's a man when he opens his voice. No matter how, I don't know how to use the word, he or she tries, you know. And so it's the same here. You will recognize this false prophet by his what? Fruit. By his fruit. So you want to know whether I am a wolf in sheep's clothing? You examine my fruit. Of course, I'm a human being, I don't bear fruit, huh? So what fruit? The Lord Jesus Christ answered this question also. Look at the next verse, two verses here. A couple of verses here, the Lord answers, what is the fruit of a person, of this false prophet? How? Now you see here in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Every Christian who always calls the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, Lord, right? Even in your prayer, you say Lord. Even when you eat food, you give thanks also, Lord. You also will pray the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, Lord. And Jesus Christ says, not everyone, so all Christians do there, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the first fruit that you can examine me is what I say. What I say. All the things that I say, if you ever come to me, we talk, you know, and what I say or you do not say, but you watch from a distance away, and how I talk today, what I talk, how I talk, how I say, that's my fruit. Christian or not Christian, Christ-like or not Christ-like, that will examine. That you can examine. Now, I don't go through the whole list, one whole long list of it. Okay, so first of all, what you say. So in other words, what the logica says, not everyone, that means some people who can say, Lord, Lord, can go to heaven. Some people who call him Lord, Lord, cannot go to heaven. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, not everyone, that means there is someone who says, who are truly, they are sheep, his sheep. As the Lord Jesus says, my sheep, hears my voice, will follow him. But those who are not sheep, they are wolves in sheep's clothing, they call him Lord, Lord. And here the Lord Jesus is referring to such false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing. Those are really hypocrites who are not sheep, but pretend to be. He shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then what is the next thing? But he that doeth the will of God. Not say only. If we say, we also must do. So there are two things. What I say, what I do. You can judge me also by that. You want to find out whether the person is a false prophet. You want to find out whether that person is a false Christian, a hypocrite. You examine these two things. What he says. What he says must come up from his heart. Remember the word, the good tree? If it is a good tree, it will come out good. If corrupt tree, definitely come out evil. Cannot have corrupt tree bearing what? Good fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ earlier said, you agree with that? That's simple, common sense logic. So if you are truly a Christian, you are a sheep, and a true sheep, then you are meh all the time. You are meh all the time. But if you are not, you are a hypocrite, outside Christian. That means you are corrupt. Your food will be evil. Even the good thing that you say, so-called, has evil intent. The Lord Jesus Christ will show you that. And if you say, you will do. Good, what you say, if it's good, you will do the good. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, he will do those that do the will of my Father. That means those who say and don't do, they cannot, they are not true children of God. They only what? Say only. Have you heard of this? Say only. All hypocrites say only. But you are a born again Christian, you say and what? Do. You must do. Say only doesn't bring you. You can praise God 1,000 times. Stand on the chair and shout out loud, Lord, you are so great and mighty. You are a God of consuming fire. We should fear you. You can say all that. And if you don't do, you don't respond in the right way, don't do the will of God, then there's no fear of God. So Christ says here, right? So you can judge the person by his fruit, what he says and what he does. Look at verse 22. Many will say, he say only, to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached? Have we not taught in your name, in the name of Jesus Christ? And then further on,
and in thy name have cast out devils. Also use the name of Jesus Christ and cast out devils. And then in thy name done many wonderful works.
You see, there are people who did all these things. What did the Lord Jesus say to this such a person? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But he said everything, all very good things. Prophesy in his name, cast out devils in his name, do wonderful works in his name. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ says what? You workers of iniquity. You know, they use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and do all these things for what? For their own selfish gain. You workers of iniquity. Oh, you use all those names. Yeah, you use my name for God, for his own glory. He will never deny his name, the power of his name. But for you, although you say such good things about me, but actually you are promoting yourself for selfish gain, for yourself. Such people are false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, hypocrites. And they think that they are saved. They forgot that they were wolves. They wear the sheep's clothing so often or so long that they thought they are sheep. They forgot. Every time when they open their mouth, they never think that it's bleating like a sheep. Actually, they are not. They forgot that. They have come to a stage where they deceive themselves. You know, for you and I, this is the time, this is the best. These words are sobering words, relevant to us, you know, today, especially today. We need to examine ourselves. I need to examine myself. Am I a hypocrite? Am I a false prophet, a false preacher, a false teacher, a false Christian? Am I? Then how do I examine myself? I check myself, my character, and my conduct. What I say, what I do, and my motive. If I am a good fruit, if I am truly born again, I must produce all the good fruit. The Lord Jesus Christ says this, if you truly are a Christian, you are what? If you are in Christ, you are a new what? Creation. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. If you are in Christ, you are a new creature. Christ says that, it's truth, that's God's word. If you are truly born again, then you become a new creation. All things have become new. And so also in the book of Ephesians you will find, yes, as Ephesians chapter 2 says, you are created, workmanship of God, in order to do good works. So we will do good works. It must bear good fruit. We must bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Do you bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit? There's a character. But if we are corrupt, false Christians with sheep's clothing, then you always find in us our character, some of the characteristics given to us. Hatred, strife, envy, even heresies. In other words, you change the word of God. You deny the word of God. You change it. Envyings, covetousness, all these things are those people who are false. False Christians. Right, it is the word false Christian. That means sheep's clothing, but actually inside false. Examine yourself. Once saved, always saved. If you, God will always be true to his word. If you are true to him. if you and I are true to our profession. You say you're a Christian, why? Because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you believe, you are saved. True. The question is, what kind of belief is that? You only know. I do not know how true it is. I cannot judge you. But God can. And so you better examine yourself in the light of scriptures before God. If you love God, you say that you love God. But do you do loving God? When you love God, you must love His Word. You must love His church. You must love His people. You must love everything about God, or the things that is about God. And God says that every Sunday you must come to church. You must come and gather together to worship Him. And then one little rain, you don't come. If Singapore had been flooded like other countries where the waters go up, say, 5 meters, that means cover. In Singapore, of course, many of us in high-rise flats, 5 meters, that means at least when you're 5 meters, I'm living in a 25-story block, all right, half is it. And all the people downstairs will be running up. Even at that time, there are no boats, I say, you don't come, I can understand. But only some parts of Singapore rain, and then because of inconvenience, you cannot carry umbrella. Can you not? But if there are other important incidents, you will go. No, you cannot. If just a bit of rain, you don't come. Then what is your faith? What's your faith? Your faith is nothing, actually. You say you are a Christian. You say you love God. You say you fear God. You fear God. And you don't come. Say only that. And Christ says these words, I know you not. Very sad. The day when you come and you face before God and then say, and Christ says, I know you not. You know how serious it is, how terrible it is to face God? Now we are not facing God yet. Huh? We are talking about, oh, I really love His second coming. Sometimes I think of myself, I always say that, no. Are you true or not? And you stand before God, and in my quiet moments, and I say, I stand before God. How? What is He going to say to me? Well done, thou faithful servant. Come into my joy. How? You face the Lord Jesus Christ, you know. What are you going to say? You're not going to live in this world forever. What are you going to say? You're going to say that, I prophesy in your name. I tell people I'm a Christian. I pray in your name. I do wonderful works. Didn't you forgive me? And Christ said, I know you not. You say only. You say only. But you don't do the will of God. See how serious it is. Such simple thing as coming to church to worship God together. How simple it is. How important it is with regard to your life and my life. So don't talk about bigger things. Come back to simple little things. So may the Lord help us to examine ourselves that we are truly born again Christians. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that your words you have inspired and preserved for us today to read and to learn many precious truths. May your words speak to us. Transform and change us, Lord. And all of us will have this assurance that we are truly thy children, bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All this we pray, thanking you, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.